Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
During last week's White House state dinner, French President Emmanuel Macron reportedly toasted to President Biden's re-election campaign. Either that, or Biden said he was running again and Macron just started drinking.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with MSNBC's Chris Hayes. But first, a closer look.
Yet another MAGA Republican handpicked by Donald Trump has lost a key race in a battleground state, this time in Georgia, where Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock won the Senate runoff last night, giving Democrats full control of the chamber without needing a tiebreaker and defying the odds in a year Republicans thought would be a red wave. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. One way you know that Herschel Walker was deeply unqualified to serve in the United States Senate was that even Republicans would rarely let him go on Fox News by himself. Instead, he was almost always accompanied by his chaperone, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who seemed to do most of the talking.
This is the year of the Georgia Bulldog, and there's no bigger Georgia Bulldog than Herschel Walker.
I want every liberal to be miserable come election night. TeamHerschel.com.
So, TeamHerschel.com, if you
want
to go
to TeamHerschel.com.
But I want to say one thing.
This man will change the Republican Party.
You're going to win this race. TeamHerschel.com. Go light up the internet.
If you will give to TeamHerschel.com right now tonight, I will do 50 push-ups on your show, but you got to give now.
Man, I understand why they let Lindsey Graham do the talking, but they didn't even trust Herschel with the push-ups? That's really a testament to how little faith they had in him. I'm not saying Herschel's dumb, but the last time I asked him to give me 50 push-ups, he robbed the bra store. But I have to say, when I heard that, I almost gave money to Herschel Walker because I would love to see Lindsey Graham attempt 50 push-ups. Oh, I can do 50 push-ups. My meemaw made me do that as a punishment whenever I forgot to clean her hemorrhoid donut. You can put it in the dishwasher yourself, meemaw. I ain't cleaning it anymore. Fine. What? By the way, I'm not saying I could bang out 50 either. Here's how I do 50 push-ups. I do a set of 20, then 15, 10, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, hospital. Shockingly, the strategy of doing exercise stunts for money did not work. Warnock beat Walker handily last night in a state where the Republican governor won by 8 points. And one reason for that is people are just tired of Trump's hand-picked clown car of bozos and doofuses. For example, we told you a few weeks ago about a very bizarre, lengthy rant Walker went on at a campaign stop about vampires and werewolves. The story was so long and detailed, it would take us the rest of this segment to show you the whole thing. But here's how it started.
You ever watch a stupid movie late at night, hoping it's gonna get better, don't get better, but you keep watching it anyway? Because the other night, I was watching this movie. I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or some type of night. But it was about vampires. I don't know if you know vampires are cool people, are they not? But I'm gonna tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that? I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I wanted to be a werewolf.
Herschel Walker wanted to be a werewolf, but in reality, he was really more of a who, what, when, why werewolf? And then every time he opened his mouth, you said, what, when, who, why, where? There was at least one small victory for Walker last night, though. They asked the same question in the exit polls, and it turns out that vampires are, in fact, cool people. Now, the reason why we showed you that is it actually played a pretty big role at the end of the runoff when President Obama went to Georgia to campaign for Warnock and mocked Walker for the vampire story. In fact, Obama couldn't even start talking about it without laughing.
Since the last time I was here, Mr. Walker has been talking about issues that are of great importance to the people of Georgia. Like whether it's better to be a vampire or a werewolf. This is a debate that I must confess I once had myself. When I was 7. Then I grew up. In case you're wondering, by the way, Mr. Walker decided he wanted to be a werewolf. Which is great. As far as I'm concerned, he can be anything he wants to be. Except for a United States senator.
And I do wish I could have seen 7-year-old Obama debating whether he wanted to be a werewolf or a vampire. Now, on the one hand, vampires are immortal. On the other hand, werewolves can dunk. Also, I want to say, it is not fair that in addition to being one of the most skilled politicians and greatest orators in American history, Obama also has legit comedy chops. Like, it doesn't work the other way. None of my comedy friends could ever be president. Because, first of all, you gotta get up before 11. I'm pretty sure they drug test you. If a White House aide ever has to utter the words, President Sandberg, the nukes are headed our way, we're Mostly because if that happened, he would not stop doing his Nicolas Cage impression. Sir, we need to call the president of Russia immediately, or I could break into the Kremlin. We do not have time for your impression, sir. They have already fired their nukes. I just hope they don't aim one at my doink. Walker was so deeply unqualified that much of the time it seemed like he didn't even know what was going on. Even Walker's fellow Republicans warned months ago that he could lose. The only reason he was even a candidate for Senate in the first place was that he was once on Donald Trump's game show. Donald Trump fired him from The Celebrity Apprentice, but thought he might do better in the United States Senate.
Herschel, I don't know if you're ready to sell corn dogs in Times Square, so let's put you in charge of the U.S. military first.
Besides, if you wanted to nominate a game show contestant, you could do much better. Just pick literally anyone who's ever been on Family Feud. Well, anyone but this woman.
Name something that might be all over a woman.
Ellen? I don't know how to say this elegantly, but...
The answer! We didn't bleep that. They did. What did she say? What could the answer have possibly been? Look what this woman did to poor Steve Harvey. Do you know how filthy your answer has to be to completely silence Steve Harvey? I've never seen so much existential dread in one man's eyes. You know what the worst part was? Number one answer. The point is, Walker is yet another Trump pick candidate who cost Republicans a seat that they had very much hoped to win. Republicans were completely on board and did everything they could to help Walker win, despite the fact that he was very obviously unqualified. But now, Even many of Trump's former allies are turning on him. Yesterday, before the results even came in, Fox Business host Stuart Varney laid into Trump for backing so many losing candidates.
There's a lot at stake here. It's more than just the balance of power in the Senate. It's about the state of the Republican Party and Trump's role in it. He seems to be losing what used to be his iron grip on the GOP. He still has a hard core of supporters who will follow him regardless. But many of the 74 million people who voted for him in 2020 have been turned off.
It's such an indictment of the GOP that Trump ever had an iron grip on them to begin with. It's hard to imagine him having an iron grip at all. I imagine shaking Trump's hand feels a lot like holding a wet baby bird. Say what you will about the Democrats, I've never heard them refer to any president, no matter how popular, as having an iron grip on the party. No one talks like that unless they're in House of the Dragon. Although, I do think Trump could recapture some of that energy he once had if he just starts showing up to rallies wearing that golden mask Viserys wears.
Rhaenyra, we love Rhaenyra, don't we, folks? And don't forget about her dragon, Cyrax. Cyrax, I met him once, big dragon, tough dragon. He came up to me. He came up to me, tears pouring down his face and then sizzling in his fiery maw. And he clutched my entire body in his giant talons. And then he said to me, he said, Mr. Trump, sir, roar! And he breathed fire all over me. But my skin is so thick and resistant. All it did was make me look like this. So there you go.
And Varney wasn't the only one throwing shade at Trump. After Warnock was declared the winner, Fox host Laura Ingraham and former Trump White House aide Kellyanne Conway complained that for some reason Republicans weren't as good at using mail-in voting as Democrats.
We need to not just compete for votes, for ballots. We need to compete for ballots. If we don't bank ballots early, we're going to keep losing.
But we didn't do it in 2020, because everyone said don't vote early, because that's corrupt.
Not everyone.
Well, yes, well big, a lot of people did people at did. The very top of the Republican Party.
Yes,
you didn't.
People did.
No, did a lot of people at the very top of the Republican Party say mail-in voting was corrupt? Huh. I wonder who those people were. Even when they're obviously talking about Trump, they can't bring themselves to say his name. From now on, whenever someone says Trump's name on Fox News, it's going to sound like this. It's so amazing to watch these people suddenly start complaining about the consequences of their own actions. You were Trump's fiercest supporters when he was claiming mail-in voting led to fraud, and now you're whining the Republicans don't vote by mail. Sorry, but you can't complain about a neck bite after you open the door and invite in a
vampire.
The best part. The best part, though, was watching them melt down as the results came in and desperately search for anyone other than Trump to blame.
This is what we expected. And, you know, look, the Senate Democrats, I would argue, did a much better job. And they got the early vote out. We felt this coming. To me, it never felt like the Senate Republicans wanted this guy in office. He was a Trump pick. They didn't like that. There wasn't the intensity on the part of the Republicans as there was on the part of the Democrats. I felt it. You felt it. But we don't change anything. We have the same people in place in leadership, same people in place apparently at the RNC. Perhaps that's not changing. We just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I'm pissed tonight, frankly.
All right, first of all, Laura Ingraham has the energy of a country club patron who's been made aware they changed chefs. They fired Mario. They fired my Mario. But he used to make the most delightful chef brioche. I'm pissed. Second, you're mad that Senate Republicans didn't want Walker to join them? You think they wanted to spend all their downtime between votes talking about whether vampires are cooler than werewolves? You think that's Mitch McConnell's idea of a good time? Besides, you know he's going to pick vampires. He'd never side against one of his own. I do enjoy imagining that conversation, though.
Herschel, just remember, we need you to vote no on the bill. Mm-hmm. Herschel, we've been over this. Vampires are cooler than werewolves. You don't know, I know a werewolf can kill a vampire, Herschel. But a vampire, Herschel. Yeah, but a vampire can turn into a bat. He dropped the phone.
Republicans are finally facing the political consequences of their actions. They're unflinching loyalty to Donald Trump is now destroying their party, and Walker is just the latest example. He was deeply unqualified to be a senator. On top of that, I'm not even sure he wanted to be one. If only Republicans had asked him what he actually wanted to be, he could have told them.
I want to be a werewolf.
This has been A Closer Look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Guest tonight is a best-selling author and Emmy-winning host of All In with Chris Hayes, which airs weeknights at 8 on MSNBC. He also hosts the podcast Why Is This Happening? Please welcome back to the show our good friend Chris Hayes, everybody. Hi! I'm so happy to have you
here.
It's
great to be here.
It's also, this is used to happen more, I feel like, with the previous guy in office, but news breaks during the day.
Lots of breaking.
I'm very lucky to have a newsman here with us because news just broke. The Trump Organization was found guilty on all 17 counts of tax. Hey! 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 Do you know how hard it is to do your taxes? They get it right on every form.
They just like justice. Good. Yes, all 17 counts. I mean, I think it was a pretty open and shut case.
Like, it did seem pretty open.
They had all the documents. It clearly, I mean, basically what it amounted to was they engineered a bunch of ways to pay benefits and perks to the CFO, Alan Weisselberg, that they were not recording as taxes. And again, this is one of those, like, you know, cutting corners kind of things that's just clearly illegal.
Yep.
Anyone that is like working with a lawyer, an accountant, or has like a sense of integrity is like, no, you don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you report your taxes.
Yeah.
But that does not apply to the Trump org, obviously.
Yeah.
As now has been proven by found by a jury.
We should stress, this is not, Donald Trump has not been found guilty of anything. This is the Trump Organization.
No, that's right. I was going to make a joke that the jury of the peers was like, I guess, other company, real estate companies in New York.
Yeah.
We're like sitting in the jury box. Yes, this was the very rare and rarely seen criminal trial of a corporation, which is the Trump org.
Which I would imagine that based on the news of the day, Trump either says he has everything to do with or nothing to do with.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Today might be a day where he's like, I barely heard of it.
It's another Trump.
It could be a different
Might be
Trump.
Don Jr.'s company.
So that is interesting. Obviously, there'll be a lot to unpack about that. Today, of course, the reason we were happy to have you is it's the end of the midterms. Tonight is the Georgia runoff.
That's right.
A fascinating race. Where do you see it? Based on the outcome, what are you going to glean from it?
I mean, I think there's two big, one is, will Georgians have like a extremely competent and impressive U.S. senator?
Yeah.
Or will they have Herschel Walker?
Yeah.
I don't say that as any kind of ideological judgment. It's just that Herschel Walker is the nominee to be the senator of Georgia because he was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes.
And because at a certain point, people were talking about the Georgia election, and Donald Trump was like, I know someone from Georgia.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker is from Georgia. And literally, the Republican establishment of Georgia was like, no, he lives in Dallas. Mm-hmm. He's lived in Dallas for 20 years. And Trump was like, no, that's Herschel Walker.
Right, because Donald Trump, I think, is very easy to connect the dots that he remembered Herschel Walker as a Georgia football player, excellent one. And then knew him as a USFL guy.
And then he was on Celebrity Apprentice.
He was on Celebrity Apprentice. So really not a lot of dots.
Those are the three qualifications for him to be the senator. And so there's a real question it is one of all the races I've ever covered, one of the starkest juxtapositions.
Of just candidate quality.
Candidate quality.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I think really is, after a brutal midterms for Donald Trump's political brand, for candidates associated with him and handpicked by him, I mean, he will have managed, if Warnock pulls this off, to basically have cost Georgia three Senate seats in 2 years.
Yeah.
Which I think is not going to be helpful for him in the case that he's trying to build to run for president again.
Which, and it should be noted that the governor of Georgia, the Republican governor of Georgia, won his race easily.
Yes.
This is not a state that is swinging wildly to become a blue state.
No, in fact, if you look at some of the other states, like, for instance, Pennsylvania and Arizona and Michigan particularly, like, they seem to move more in the Democrats' direction down the ticket line. Georgia kind of swung back. The big outlier is Raphael Warnock against Herschel Walker. And the reason is that Herschel Walker has no business being a U.S. senator.
Yeah.
And enough marginal voters in Georgia were aware of that to give Warnock the advantage. The first time around, we'll see if that holds tonight.
It will be an interesting night as we see those come in. You talk about, is the impact of Donald Trump on the Republican Party waning? It definitely seems like things are not going as well as they have in the past, obviously. But I still don't see how he doesn't have a massive amount of control over the Republican Party because of his base.
Oh, he definitely has a massive amount of control. I mean, I think two things are true. One is that he is still the de facto leader of the party. Two, that he's as politically weak as he's been basically since he came down the escalator in 2015. Yeah. And, you know, I think if the last 5 years...
It is funny that that's a true thing, but also really funny.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, wait, what? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's what he did.
True. That was actually...
That's what he did. Literally, it's so funny, too. Instead of, like, elevating to meet us, he was like, I shall come down to you.
Yes.
In, like, the lobby. That was the other part of it.
Yeah. Like, and we were like, ha, like ha, you goon. And then he was president.
Yes, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I shortened it up. I sort of condensed it. But that was
those are the main
happened.
Parts of the those story.
It was like, he came down, we all laughed, and then he was president for 4 years. Yes. He did the full four.
That's exactly what happened. And because of that, I think, like, it's always so risky to draw some straight line. You know, some trend is happening and just draw it out into the future. And I think, again, the last 5 years has taught us, like, between Donald Trump and, like, COVID, like, you never know what's going to happen. I have no idea what the future will bring. He might be very strong. Right now, he is very weak. And the reason he's weak isn't because, you know, people are morally appalled by the fact that he's, like, dining with white nationalists and anti-Semites. It's because he's a loser and he keeps losing and he keeps screwing things up for them.
Yes.
And they don't like that. And they want to be rid of it, but they're not quite sure how to be rid of it.
Well, one thing I want to say is, you know, I think a lot of candidates try to follow the Trump playbook. And this will seem insincere as I say it, but I do mean it. I do think it's harder to be Donald Trump than it looks.
Absolutely.
I think that he has a unique combination of skills that if other people try it, it just seems weirdly inauthentic. And with him, you're like, that's exactly who he is.
I 100% agree with that. I think the shtick he has is his shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else can really do that shtick. Even when they try to do it, it doesn't work, A. B, it's hard to be... I don't want to remote diagnose the man. But, like, if you have, like, a fake sociopath and a real sociopath going against each other, like, the real sociopath has a real advantage. And I do think that, like, it's genuinely difficult for most people to be as... essentially sociopathic as he is.
Yeah.
So I think that shtick doesn't work. And then, I mean, and then you see it with everyone else just comes off as creeps and weirdos. Like, the Blake Masters.
Yes, this is in Arizona.
It's Arizona. You know, he had this 2-minute video of him shooting, you see this?
Yeah.
Shooting the gun with the silencer.
Uh-huh.
Just be like, out there being like, silencers get a bad rap, man. It's like, whoa, buddy. Like, I don't know what you're doing or why you're running for office on this platform, but all of the sort of reactions people had to Trump, the fundamental thing I think to remember is, in almost like the original ancient Greek meaning of the word, he has charisma.
He really does
have charisma. And charisma's a hard thing to fake, and not everyone has it. And I actually think even if you go back and look at tape of him in 2015, 2016, that version of him had a lot more charisma than the version now.
Yeah.
Like, significantly more. And that's a sui generis thing. It's hard to bottle, it's hard to replicate.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch him try to get it back.
Yeah.
I have a million more questions for you. Stick around. We'll be right back with more from Chris Hayes. Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Chris Hayes. You wrote a New York Times essay.
I did.
Making the case for why you wanted Twitter to survive. I think that this is a time where a lot of people talk about what a cesspool it is. I liked reading about the fact that it has also been a wonderful place.
Yeah, there's lots of things that have been really remarkable about it. I mean, one of the things I think, the thing that was best about it is because of how it was structured, in which you weren't necessarily just in one, you know, one part of Reddit, right? Like, oh, I'm an electric car enthusiast. I'm on like the Reddit board. You had this sort of general feed, and because of the way retweets worked and the algorithm, you would happen upon stuff, you know? And so for me, as a particularly as a news gatherer, you know, there'd be an impending railroad strike, and then all of a sudden I would have like three or four people that work on the railroad at talking about like, this is why we want paid leave, and this is why this new system they use in the railroads is totally oppressive and brutal and scheduling-wise, and you would have this for a million different experiences. You would get these windows, and again, that could be dangerous because like a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Like, well, I know about the railroads now, right?
Yeah.
I followed these three people, but I found for me the breadth of experience and perspectives that we're all mixing in one place, there really hasn't ever been anything quite to replicate that, and I don't want it to go away.
And what do you think in the early days of Elon Musk's, you know, running of Twitter? Are you, I mean, again, you're not a business guy, but are you basically thinking he's nailing it, right?
I mean, it's 10 out of 10, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, every part of
it. I mean, I'm not in the books, but I think pretty much, sounds like we're pretty much, no, it's been pretty disastrous. I mean, I think the thing that I actually have that has been clarifying for me, I think there was, first of all, it felt a little bit like an impulse purchase.
Yeah.
Like he was at the cash register and there was like a $44 billion social media company.
Yeah.
So that was weird that it was the most expensive impulse purchase of all time. I think that what he has been doing with the platform now is actually very clarifying to me because it wasn't about the business and it wasn't an impulse purchase, it was an ideological purchase. And as long as there have been rich people, and as long as there have been rich people and capitalism plus a free press, there have been rich people who buy media outlets for ideological purposes. This is a story all the time. And once I sort of saw it as that, I was like, oh, that's what this is. He wants to own Twitter because he wants to pursue his vision because he's the world's richest man. The other thing I think is key here is, you know, I'm one of these people who's A, a Twitter addict, and B, it's like partly my job.
Yep.
It's like if you're like working at RJR Nabisco and you're like smoking two packs a day, you're like, well, it's the product. You know, I gotta test it. It's like, that's sort of me. But that's also Elon Musk. I think he bought it so he could be like, I'm working.
Yeah. That's so
working.
Smart, right? Like, when my wife's like, are you still on Twitter?
Like, I'm working.
I bought it, honey.
Yeah.
I gotta be on it. Can I just say, you crushed Twitter from the start.
Oh, this is amazing.
We went back and looked, and, like, a lot of us, it took us time to figure out how to be good at Twitter, but we went back to your first four tweets. This is April 12th, 2007. I want to reveal them as we go. So that's working on a presentation and keynote. Thank you for that.
Yep. It's a one heart right
one
there.
One heart, right?
All right, yep.
By the way, like, imagine retweeting that. Like, imagine someone being like, oh, I want my followers to see that. All right, then you come back with, in a coffee shop, working on a draft. More likes, but they're less retweets.
Mm-hmm.
Reading blogs and craving caffeine. Oh.
That was a perpetual state of being.
Then this is maybe the flattest tweet I've ever seen. To Terry Gross. Now, by the way, I listen to Terry Gross. I love Terry Gross. I've listened to Terry Gross.
Tweeted like, that?
I gotta let people know.
At least I'm not a caricature of myself. I will note to defend my honor here, briefly, do you remember back then the Twitter prompt was Chris L. Hayes is. That was the prompt. The prompt was like, it was like a status away message.
Right.
Like you used to have on AIM back in the day, people
gotcha.
Our age. And so like the setup was,
what are you actively doing right now?
Just, you know.
Okay, gotcha.
But so, I evolved. I think I got better.
You know, listening to Terry Gross sounded boring, but just to make it fair, you should have heard it like this. Chris Hayes is listening to Terry Gross.
Thank you, right? Better.
There you go.
Better.
You tease yourself for being very online and living an online life. It should be noted, another thing that's remarkable, you and I are very much inside that Twitter bubble. We think it's the most important social media network in the world, and it is decisively not.
No, definitely not. And it's never delivered a ton of growth. It's never been particularly far-reaching. It has always been a bit of a bubble. And I also wonder how much this, going back to that point about you can't extrapolate out some trend and because there's disruption and there's changes. And I don't know if this era we've lived in, basically, I think, since the introduction of the iPhone 2007, which is the kind of fully smartphone web 2.0 social media universe that we've lived in now for 15 years. I don't know if we're at the precipice of something new. You know, it feels to me like there's shifts happening. I don't know where it goes next, but I also feel there's a little bit of an end of an epoch feeling it to me right now.
You also do a good job. If the epoch ends and it's more outdoorsy, you're also a very outdoorsy fella.
Clear
some brush.
The silence in the crowd is the surprise registering.
But you did something. I am. You posted this photo of you and your wife on your anniversary, and this is last July.
This is our 15th anniversary.
15th anniversary, and where did you take her?
The garbage dump.
And I will say, the fact that, I do think that's a good test at 15 years, if you can make out in front of a pile of garbage.
And in my, I just want to be clear here, this was not unilateral. We were both psyched.
Okay, that's
together
nice.
To go, Kate's parents were in town, they nicely spelled us for a little bit, we had a lot of garbage piling up, we hadn't got to the dump, we were like, let's together, after 15 years, cross this item off our to-do list.
That's really sweet.
Together. I think that is.
And then
that's the foundation
Chris
of love.
Hayes is finding true love.
Yes, under a garbage dump.
Under a garbage dump. Hey, thanks for being here.
Thank you, man.
We're looking forward to following you tonight. You guys, that's Chris Hayes. All In with Chris Hayes. Weeknights at 8 on MSNBC. And tune in for the network's continuing coverage of the Georgia election.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.